Chapter 12. There is growling and muttering, but eventually the girls obey. Styles looks down at his phone and thinks that he is probably going to traumatize himself by Googling how to remove a catheter, but he doesn't dare do it without some kind of confirmation that he can just pull the damn thing out. YouTube links come up. He grimaces. Derek, go away. Derek growls at him. Derek, Styles says, trying to be patient. You do not want to see this. I do not want to see this. We have to be able to look each other in the eye tomorrow. So for the love of all that's holy, just go away for a minute. Derek climbs off the bed, still growling, and shifts back to his human form. He goes into the bathroom to dress while Styles follows the directions. It's not a comfortable procedure, but it works. Then he sends Derek to get Scott, who detaches the IV but leaves the port in, taping it down. Styles shimmies into his pants. His shirt never made it to the hospital, because they had more important things to do than grab his stuff. He hopes that his chainmail and his gun are okay. How fast will they come in here? He asks. We'll have a few minutes, Scott says. Really? Styles asks, startled. That long? Monitors that send an alarm to the nurse's station are only in the ICU and the cardiac unit, Scott says. Here, they'll only notice you're gone when they come in to do their vitals check, which they've been doing every 15 minutes. Cool, Styles says, much relieved that he's not going to have to evade a nurse with a crash cart. Ready? Scott asks him. Styles looks over at Derek, who glances at the window and nods to confirm that the car is there. Ready, he says. And Scott reaches out and turns the monitor off, then starts pulling the sensors off his skin. A minute or two later, Derek has scooped him up and they're out the window. It's a bit harrowing, but they make it down to the car okay. My mom is going to kill me, Scott says glumly, as they speed away in the Jeep. Well, text her to let her know we've gone, Styles says. She'll be pissed as all get out, but less pissed than if she finds out I left when she hears the uproar. Fair enough, Scott says, and starts texting. Styles pulls out his phone and texts his dad too, saying, When the hospital calls saying I've disappeared, don't worry, I'm okay. Since that text is sure to send his father into apoplexy, he adds, Turning my phone off now. We'll call later. Love you, bye. Then he turns his phone off and tucks it into the pocket of his jeans. Oh my God, Allison says. My dad texted me like 18 times this evening. He hates texting. Maybe you should answer the phone when he calls, Styles says, and spare the poor man his dignity. What does he want? A million things, Allison says. He wants to know that I'm okay. He heard about Tyrone being killed. He got the ballistics report from your dad, and something in it pissed him off. I don't even know what. Now he's just texting me every hour, on the hour, to let me know how long I'm grounded. We're up to my 18th birthday now. Oh, look, a new text saying Ms. McCall called him, and he knows we left the hospital, and wants to know what's going on. Lovely! Styles' lips twitch. Mad respect, he says. Maybe you should tell him what's going on. Oh, sure, Allison says, rolling her eyes. That sounds like a great idea. He'll show up at the Hale House loaded for bear. Loaded for werewolf, Styles says, and lets out a quiet snicker. The other three give him a look, which clearly indicates that they would be beating the shit out of him if he weren't already injured. In the other car, Lydia, Erica, and Isaac have made a detour, so when Styles and the others get to the Hale House, they're greeted by a lawn chair and a blanket. Styles gives them a look and says, Seriously? Sit in the fucking chair, Derek says, between clenched teeth. Styles sits. He even lets them spread the blanket over his legs. It's chilly, almost an hour before dawn, although the sky is starting to lighten in the east. And windy, too. There's some rustling in the trees, and the six members of the Alpha Pack, less Callie, step into sight. None of them look particularly happy to be there, even less so when Derek immediately starts snarling at them. "What the fuck is wrong with you assholes, demanding we show up here?" Justin lifts his hands in surrender. "It wasn't us. We found out about this the same time you did." He takes out his phone and taps the screen a couple times, then holds it up to display. Derek doesn't want to go anywhere near him, and Scott is hovering over Stiles, so it's Lydia who walks over to look at it. "Get your asses to the Hale House. We're done here," she reads aloud. "What a charmer," Stiles says, rolling his eyes. "She's lucky I saw the damned message," Justin says. "I was asleep. The twins woke me when my phone went off. They were on watch." "That bad, huh?" Stiles says. "Who killed Tyrone?" "That black guy?" Justin asks. "I did." His face twists into a scowl that looks out of place on his typically good-natured features. "He went after Yaz." "Got it," Stiles says. He can definitely understand that, especially given the fact that this had happened just after their discussion about Trevor. That reminds him of something. He frowns and says, "Hey, after my fight with Callie, did you start shaking me and demanding answers?" "What? No," Justin says. "I was in the forest chasing after Callie." "Damn," Stiles says. "Those were some vivid hallucinations I had." Scott cuffs him over the top of the head. "Shut up," he says. "If you're offering explanations, though," Justin says. "I'm not," Stiles says, "but you can ask Ravender." Justin rounds on Ravender with his fists clenched at his sides, and Ravender actually flinches away. It's clear who's in charge of the Alpha Pack now, and nobody is trying to contest Justin's claim. "You knew?" he snarls. "Yes," Ravender says quietly. "I was the one who found his body that day. I checked to see if his medication was on him, and it wasn't. Callie must have taken it from his jacket pocket earlier that day."
"And you just never said anything?"
May asks incredulously.
"Let me guess,"
Justin says, his voice tinged with bitterness. "You didn't want to take sides."
"No,"
Ravender snaps. "I didn't say anything because I was afraid. Is that so difficult to believe?" Justin seems taken aback by this response. Then, surprising everyone, he reaches out and rubs his hand over Ravender's hair. It's a gesture that seems a little odd when done to someone so much older, but from a pack leader to his subordinate, it's perfectly normal. Stiles has seen Derek do it to Erica and Isaac dozens of times, sometimes even to Scott. It's a gesture designed to comfort, to forgive, to offer protection.
"Aw, isn't that sweet?"
Callie's voice says as she emerges from the Hale House itself, which makes Derek curl his lip in a snarl.
"But I'm still in charge of this pack, I would like to remind you, and we have business to attend to."
Justin opens his mouth to say something, but then apparently decides against it. Stiles' pack immediately clusters around him protectively, and he can't really argue, circumstances being what they are. He doesn't really feel well, and he suspects it's partly because he's no longer getting the saline to flush out his system and dilute the poison. The dose he took was less than 12 hours ago. There's still plenty of it in his body. Callie doesn't seem to care what his pack does. She just gives Stiles a vicious smile and says, "I'm sure you know what I'm going to say."
"What can I say?" Stiles replies. "I'm a goddamn genius like that."
"A genius probably wouldn't have failed his alpha trial," Callie retorts. Stiles wants to freak out. It's not like he didn't see it coming, because he did. He saw it coming a mile away. It was like being tied to a train wreck, watching the engine barrel towards you. He feels frustration start to boil over, because it's not fair. Because life isn't fair, and that's stupid.
He wants to scream and rage and yell and throw things. But he doesn't, because he's going to handle this somehow. They may all die in his attempt, but at least he's going to make that attempt. So he clears his throat, looks up at Callie from his idiotic lawn chair, and says, "Which of the tasks did I fail?" "That's not what this is about," Callie says, her tone haughty. "You completed the task, but you didn't do it the way you should have. Using silver and cell phones and wolfsbane." She folds her arms over her chest and gives him a look of complete triumph. "You don't comport yourself as a wolf, and therefore you cannot be an alpha." "Wow, comport," Stiles says. "That's a big word for a petty bitch like you." "Insult me all you want," Callie says. "It doesn't matter now. The punishment for failing a trial is execution, of course." No sooner has the first syllable of the word execution left her mouth, but all of Stiles' pack has shifted into their partial forms, and their circle is tightening around him protectively. Callie just smirks at them. "And if your pack wants to go with you, that's fine by me." She takes a step forward. Derek lets out a low growl. "You can't take all of us." "I don't have to," she says. "There's one for each of us." It's so similar to what Stiles had said at the beginning of this that he laughs. The noise he makes sounds more like he was kicked in the stomach, but it's there. "Is there?" he asks, and raises his eyes to her in direct challenge. "No," Justin says. Callie half turns and blinks at him. "No?" she asks, stunned. Stiles is a little impressed by the depth of her sociopathy. She's honestly surprised that Justin is challenging her. It's as if, in her head, it couldn't possibly happen. Even after Justin and the other alphas found out what she had done, she still expected them to respect her authority as pack leader. "No." Justin looks at Yasmin. "No?" "No," she confirms. May purses her lips. "I'm afraid I agree with Justin and Yasmin," she says. "I don't believe your judgment is correct in this case, Callie." Callie growls at them. "My judgment isn't yours to question. I'm the leader of this damn pack, and the decision is mine and only mine."
"Yeah, but..."
Ethan trails off. The twins don't seem to be sure what to make of the situation at all. So they decide to stick to the matter at hand. The reasons why they don't think Stiles should fail. They're comfortable challenging her on that score, even if they don't know what to do with everything else that's happened. "Callie, you've passed wolves that have done worse on the trials than he has. Actually, if we're going to be honest, he's one of the better alphas we've seen." "You could at least put him on probation or something instead of going straight to execution," Aiden agrees.
"Shut up!" Callie screams. "He fails because I say he does. It's my decision!"
"It is," Ravender agrees. His voice is quiet, but carries well in the still, pre-dawn air. "But you will get no help from us. We have the right to withdraw our support with unanimous agreement. And I'm afraid it is unanimous, Callie. You have allowed your personal feelings to interfere with your judgment. So yes, the decision is yours, and you alone will carry it out. If you can." Callie looks around at them.
You can't!"
With a strangled snarl, she turns around and takes a step toward Stiles. She's barely moved when there's a twang, and then an arrow is lodged in the ground beside her foot. "Make one move," Allison says. She already has another arrow knocked. "The next one will go through your eye."
"Bitch!" Callie screamed. "None of you are really wolves. None of you deserve this territory."
Derek steps forward with a growl.
"This territory has been in my family for hundreds of years."
"Careful, Derek," Scott says. "If you kill her, you'll be an alpha."
"Yeah, we don't want that," Lydia agrees. "We'd have to go through this damn trial all over again."
"No,"
Derek says, "We won't." He looks squarely at Callie and says, "She's been rejected by her pack."
"Shut up!"
she snarls, and her eyes flare red, and then change to blue, and then the glow fades away altogether. She stands in stunned silence.
"You're Omega now," Derek says. "You have no power here."
Callie's face contorts into an expression of bitter rage, and she lunges forward, shifting as she goes, although her eyes remain dark, and she goes right for Derek's throat, howling, out of control. Several things happen at once. Styles sees it coming, he feels it coming, and he reaches out one hand as he makes a noise of wordless protest. Derek leaps forward to meet Callie's charge head on. There's the sharp crack of a gunshot. Styles sees the two of them go down in a heap, and he throws himself forward. But it doesn't do him any good. His legs are as wobbly as a newborn kitten's, and all he does is wind up face first in a pile of dirt and leaves. Moments later, he's pressed into them even more firmly as Scott and Erica throw themselves on top of him, shielding his body with their own. Allison stands over them protectively, covering them with her bow. The other wolves, his own included, have vanished into the forest, hunting Vivian. None of this matters to Styles, none of it at all, because he smells blood.
"Derek!"
he screams, trying to claw his way out from underneath Scott and Erica.
"Derek!"
"I'm okay," Derek coughs out.
"You're not hit?"
Styles demands, still trying to get up.
"I'm not hit," Derek confirms.
Scott has gotten off Styles at this point, and half carries, half drags the other teenager over to Derek. Styles presses his face into Derek's neck, feels the beat of Derek's pulse against his cheek, steady and reassuring. Callie scrambles up to her knees. For a moment, it looks like she might attack again, but when she moves forward, she lets out a sharp gasp of pain and folds in half. She presses both hands to her abdomen, and even in the dim, pre-dawn light, they can see the blood that stains them.
"Callie, you're shot," Styles says. "We should get the bullet out." "Get away from me," she screams, as Scott reaches for her. "Don't fucking touch me."
"Callie." Ethan and Aiden hurry over, one of them trying to help brace her.
"You're not an alpha anymore. You can't handle the same amount of damage."
"Get the fuck away!"
Callie staggers to her feet. Styles can see blood trickling down her chin.
"Callie, we can help you," he says.
The other wolves are gathering now, having come back from their foray into the forest. Justin looks down at them with an impassive expression on his face. He's not arguing with Styles' offer to help Callie, but he isn't trying to aid them either.
"I don't need your fucking help, you son of a bitch!"
There's a snarling noise to their left, and Ravender emerges from the forest, dragging Vivian with him. She's hurling all sorts of profanities at him, but he's much stronger than she is, and doesn't hesitate for an instant as he throws her down at Justin's feet. Justin's gaze flickers up to Ravender, who shifts into his wolf form and whines, pressing himself down into the ground.
"An offering made in good faith," Justin agrees. A smile twists his lips. "You're forgiven."
But before Justin can do anything, Callie lunges forward as Vivian tries to climb to her feet, catching her in a full tackle. The two of them go down in a heap, rolling several feet away. Vivian manages to squirm free and get to her feet, grabbing her gun and leveling another two shots at Callie. One of them clips her in the shoulder, but the other misses. It doesn't slow Callie down for an instant. She just charges into another attack. Vivian screams as Callie's jaws sink into her throat. Styles looks around wildly, thinking that maybe they should have done something, tried to stop her. But everything happened so quickly. There was really no time. Even if he had wanted to, Derek's got both arms around him, pinning him firmly against the other man's chest, and sheltering him from anything that might try to hurt him, including himself. As for the other wolves,
None of them are particularly interested in getting in Callie's way, just to save a woman who tried to kill them. Callie drops Vivian to the ground. The hunter shudders once as blood gushes from her throat, and then goes still. Then Callie turns to the others, her mouth and chin smeared crimson, and screams defiantly, "I can take any of you assholes! I'll kill you all! I won't stop until every one of you is—" And then there are two more gunshots. Callie looks down. Her mouth makes a little "oh" of surprise. Stiles can see the two splotches of red on her shirt, perfectly centered over her heart. Excellent marksmanship. She goes to her knees, then falls face first into the dirt. Everyone just stands in stunned silence for a moment. Then Scott kneels beside her and turns her over. Her eyes stare up at the sky, that faintly confused expression still on her face. "She's dead," he says, and looks up at Stiles, as if wondering what to do. "But who? The hunters are all dead or in jail," Derek begins. "No, they aren't," Stiles says. "There's still one left." He looks up in the direction that the gunshots had come from, and gives a nod of greeting as Chris Argent emerges from the trees. "Dad!" Allison says, and throws herself at her father. He catches her around the waist and gives her a tight hug. The alphas are snarling, but Stiles shakes his head at them. "It's okay," he says. He looks at Chris and says, "Thanks for taking that decision from me."
"It's what I do," Chris says. "She was a monster."
Stiles nods and leans against Derek. "I notice you didn't intervene until after she'd taken down Vivian, though," he says. Chris narrows his eyes. "You must have really not liked that ballistics report you got from my dad. I take it the gun that shot Allison did not, in fact, belong to any of the men in jail?"
"Something like that."
Chris looks down at Vivian's body.
"She was very particular about her firearms."
"I bet," Stiles says. He's suddenly exhausted.
"Come on," Scott says. "Stiles, we need to get you back to the hospital."
Stiles nods and tries to stand, but his legs have gone numb again, and he can't get them sorted out. Scott lifts him to his feet and gets him onto Derek's back. Justin watches this process with some interest and shakes his head a little bit.
"You are one hardcore mofo, you know that, Stiles?"
he says, as Stiles wraps his arms around Derek's shoulders and pretends he can grip.
"You know, the Alpha Pack is down a member."
"If you try to invite me into your pack..." Stiles has to pause to think of a suitable threat. Nothing comes to mind, so he mumbles,
"I will puke on your shoes."
Justin laughs. He slings an arm around Yasmin's shoulder and says,
"We're out. Later."
The Alpha Pack turns and begins to walk away. Ravender pauses long enough to give another half bow to Stiles' pack before following them.
"You'll take care of this?"
Stiles asks Chris. He gives another nod, and two of his men come out of the woods, carrying some gear. Stiles doesn't question. This is what Chris does.
"Thanks," he says again.
He leans his cheek against Derek's shoulder and closes his eyes.
"It's been a long week."